Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hello, Archons. Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm joined this week by Philly number one. Hello, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Sydney. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to have you here because today we're going to be talking about Genka, and not only Genka, but everything that led us on this journey of each having a Genka deck at Roseville, facing each other in top eight, but also where to go from here and possibly how to defeat and dismantle when you are sitting across the table from a Genka deck. I actually want to get into your history. So tell us about yourself and how you got into KeyForge and why you are so into Alliance now.
Well, I was first introduced to KeyForge by a friend of mine who worked for Fantasy Flight, then Asmodee, and now he's working for Strange Stars. yeah. And, you know, he just showed me this game and I thought it was really cool. And one thing that was different about KeyForge that I really liked was the house structure. There's no mana or something. You're not going to have like some 8-cost card just like clogging your hand forever. I just like have always disliked those kind of types of systems. So just being able to play every card like any turn you want to from your hand, I just like super liked that about KeyForge and just all the like crazy interactions. So, you know, I played a bunch of Coda and some AoA. And then around, like, Worlds Collide, I kind of, like, drifted away a little bit. And then, yeah, I think it was probably, you know, the around Dark Tidings, I started coming back a little bit. I think I might have had some more time around that time. And so I just kind of got really back into it. Mass Mutations, though, that's when I started playing Mass Mutations, and I loved that set.
Totally.
Yeah, then I just, like, I kind of discovered like some of the Discord communities, and then that was just a great source of like KeyForge information and other people sharing the same like likes as I do. So then I just kind of been hanging around there ever since.
Did you go online during the pandemic? Did you play KeyForge when the in-person stuff went dark?
Yeah, that was when I was first starting to come back. It's just like I was kind of looking for something because before then, before, like, all the TCO stuff, I guess during the Coda days, I just kind of, like, it was a game that I could play against myself pretty easily, so.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think we can just hop right in. So why don't we start with what got you into Genka? What made you figure out that you wanted to start looking at how to make an Alliance Genka deck?
Well, I've always been a fan of House Mars, so, and then, you know, Genka was such a big combo in AoA that I just remember always wanting one myself. And I finally got one that I really liked. And I got it from Boulevard Blake in a big case of French AoA. Yeah. So I've never had a super strong Archon deck. So I'm like, all right, let's try this Alliance format.
Sure.
And so, you know, liking House Mars, trying Alliance, is like, it's just this natural, let's go with the Genka thing and try to make a super awesome one. So that's kind of where I started with it. And where I started with the journey with this particular deck, I guess it starts back at, I went to KFC last year, and I was trying some different pods out, right? I was running a Dis, Logos, and the Mars House. And the Dis wasn't control. I was trying to do a whole bunch of like hand discard with the Yurks and stuff.
Sure. But
I only went 1-2 at KFC, and it just, you know, wasn't fast enough. So just started looking at different things. I looked into the Logos pods because, you know, when you're running Genka, like you said, it's two cards, right? Mars and Generosity and Key Abduction, but you got to hit those two cards and hopefully as fast as you possibly can, right? So that you can set it up because it's always terrible when you're playing that combo deck and one's stuck on the bottom. So it's just like, you can't get to it then. So after KFC, I did this big search for all these different Logos House, and I was like looking into different types of efficiency, right? Like archive or like hand draw or like hand management. And at some point in time, I don't even know when I found it, but I kind of realized I was practicing with like some of these Logos, and you know, I hit the Igor, I hit the Helper Bot, and then I Nature's Called, and I brought him back to hand, and I realized I could do it again. It's like, whoa, that's like six cards I can dig through my deck right there. And like, I can just churn through my deck super fast doing it this way. So then I just looked for good Logos pods that kind of fit into that sort of game plan, and I found a really nice one.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's so super similar to how I started. And I really like that, like, it's so funny that we discovering it ourselves is makes it even more special, you know, because you can go online, you can see what other people have in their build. But Ganka, like we talked about before we got on air, it's two cards. That combo that is now dominating the AOA Alliance meta, it's two cards in the whole deck. So you have to have 34 other cards that support that whole strategy for it to even be scary, let alone game winning.
Yes. And the typical thing I was seeing at KFC was a Logos, Mars, and Untamed. And the Untamed typically had a Nepseed or two, and maybe a key cheat. And so, like, the game plan there is that you get the combo, and then you just, you know, get the Nepseed to replay key abduction a couple times. But still, it kind of runs into that efficiency of you can still, like, get a card on the bottom of your deck or something like that. And so it just wasn't consistent enough for what I wanted to do. And so when I found that Igor Helper Bot Nature's Call engine, I just realized I could just, like, rule of six through my deck real fast. And so I just looked through for pods that helped me do that. So it's like, yes, I have this Ganka pod, but to support it, I've, like, built this Logos house with this Untamed house to just churn through my deck as, like, fast as I possibly can. So I like to refer to it like the Igor and the Helper Bot as, like, the engine with the Fila the Researcher, I should also mention, because that's a big part of it too. It's like you lay that Fila down, lay down two cards right next to it, then you got two more cards, Nature's Call, you do the whole thing again. So it's just this, like, digging through the deck and, like, all the Nature's Calls and the Total Recall. That's a really nice one too. It's just like, it's like the fuel for the deck. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that is a fantastic transition to how your and my paths crossed before we even got to Roseville. So I ended up reaching out to you to purchase, to acquire your Logos pod. So do you mind telling us a little bit more about the pod and why it's so special?
Yeah. So as I've been talking about what I'm looking for in the Logos pod, this one has two Igors, two Helper Bots, two Fila the Researchers. It also has a Neutron Shark for that R, which is huge, right?
Absolutely.
It's like you need that Neutron Shark. It's the ZYX Researcher is also pretty nice in there too. When you do the Igors, you know, if you do, like, get two cards that you want, well, you can sometimes place those cards in the correct order in your discard pile, as you've talked about on previous episodes, and then use your ZYX Researcher to archive that top card. So, but sometimes the deck, you know, if the combo hits, it can move fast enough that you can just flip your deck, and I'm not that worried. Actually, like, it's kind of funny, because, like, we both came upon this Logos pod. I showed it to some people, you know, a ways back, and they're like, well, that's pretty good, but you should, you know, if you're trying to go that Ganka route, you should get rid of the Igors and find something without those, because you don't want to hit, you know, like, your combo or something.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh. It's so funny that people who, like, don't have the practice or the reps with pods like this say something like that.
Yeah. And it's just like, so that's, like, the big thing I was looking for is also the consistency of having the doubles of all those with the Fila, the Helper Bot, and the Igor. The Titan mechanic is also pretty nice in this deck because it'll lower the key cost of your Chota and the key charge. The standardized testing is pretty fun too with the Total Recall. So then you can just, like, turn it into a, you know, one-sided board wipe almost.
Especially, that's amazing. Yeah,
especially against some Woe decks, if they just got a whole bunch of, like, one power creatures.
Right? Yeah. Woe either has one power or, like, eight power. Like, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
But so you're talking about this fantastic, amazing Logos pod. Was that the first pod you came across when you decided to make this build? Or have you gone through, like, a lot of different iterations, like changing pods out and seeing which one you like the best?
Yeah. There were quite a few, like, Logos pods that I looked at. And when I, like, figured out this engine and I figured out what I wanted to do, I kind of realized, like, this was like the pod I wanted to go with. What I actually had more trouble with is like once I realized that I had my Mars pod and my Logos pod, I had this big journey to find the right untamed pod. So it's like, sure. I kept looking and looking because I wanted to have lots of recursion. And the one that I have right now has got like 3 nature's calls. It also has a regrowth. But it's nice when it can do other stuff too. And like this one, it can kind of, if I like get control of the week or something into this untamed, it can like do its own thing basically with the Flaxia and the nature's calls. It can just generate a whole bunch of amber. It's got the 2 key cheats and Chota and key charge. It's also got a Nepseed, which is, you know, it's pretty nice to have at the beginning of the game. It's just like at the end of the game, since Alliance goes so fast, it's just kind of like, well, I'll put it down and maybe you'll take some time to get rid of it. But I don't know that I'm that I'm going to have the time to pull it off. But
one of the things I like about Nepseed is that once you use it, it just goes into your discard pile. So you can cycle through your deck fast enough with a strategy like this to get it again, to put it out again.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, yeah, like I was saying before, is like sometimes you just like cycle through your deck and you can get those cards again, even if you hit something with the Igors.
Absolutely. So we're at Roseville now. What do you think going into that weekend? You have Ganka. Are you thinking about who else might have Ganka? Are you more thinking about who might have Woe? Or are you just trying to get it out of your head? You're trying to focus on just playing Keyforge?
Well, I was mainly thinking that I, like, a couple weeks beforehand had finally found this untamed pod that I liked. And, you know, I thought it was, I had my deck about as good as I could get it for the time being. So after that, I was just kind of like, well, let the chips fall where they may, I suppose. Like, I wasn't too concerned about what I was going to see, I guess. I was just kind of like, let's just go have some fun playing Keyforge.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited that you and I got to run into each other day one. So that Friday. So like on a no stress day, we actually got 2 matches in and you won one and I won one. So yes, it was a really like fun introduction to like, uh-oh, well, I hope like we're evenly matched. Like, I don't know what's going to, if we sit across the table from each other in the actual event, like no idea what's going to happen. So did you change your mindset in Friday? Play sealed, you did Woe. Did you like try and get Ganka out of your mind, or were you mentally prepping for the next day?
So like, here was the thing, like I spent lots of time, hundreds of games, like trying out different pods and like trying out different things. And then I had all that kind of in place. Summer became crazy busy and like, the actual amount of prep that I was able to do for this was probably a little bit lacking. Like, yeah, you talk to June, talking like, oh, I played like 800 some games with Becky. And it's like, well, it's like I played hundreds of games finding these 3 pods. But as actual like battle testing my lineup, I think I was only able to get in like 5 games ahead of time. So,
oh my gosh, that's crazy. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that being said, like, I knew my deck's game plan. I didn't have the repetitions and the prep to know when I needed to switch gears. It's like,
sure.
Actually, the very first game, I was like thinking about it afterwards. You know, I lost my first game in the Alliance tournament. There were things I wish I could have done differently. I was facing off against someone who was running like double or triple Ronnies, like some code monkeys to take them back to hand, maybe some Infernuses, but they never even showed up. And then just like, I'm just running my normal game plan. My deck normally generates amber fast enough that I can just forge a first key normally. And right, when you're playing Ganka, it's like most of the time the opponent just lets you forge that first key because if they stop you, maybe they're just like feeding the Martian generosity, but he just kept like taking me off check and taking me off check. And so knowing when I should have switched strategies, because I remember like discarding my Chota, I should have switched to like getting up to 7 and key cheating and then trying to get, you know, my engine to go off. But it's just like, it's real tempting because it's just like, well, any 3 cards I draw could hit, you know, enough of my engine to get it going, and then I don't need to worry about it. And so I ended up losing that game because my engine went off, but I had no keys forged yet. And my deck has lots of ways to forge two keys in one turn, but I've right. never been able to forge three keys in one turn. I rule a six. So
right. Oh, totally. So yeah. Sneak peek to later in the episode, like not having Amber at the beginning of my turns was also a struggle for me. But I'll get into that when we start talking about how to dismantle Genka. But go ahead, continue. So you lose your first game. I'm so glad that no longer did we have to wait hours and hours until we started our next game, but you went straight into your next one.
Yeah, and that was great. And I was just playing someone running some mass mutations. They, I guess, were trying to do some sort of transporter platform thing with a bunch of upgrades, and they just never got it to hit. And so it was just kind of an easy walkthrough for me. Just my deck did its thing, and they were a little frustrated that their deck wasn't doing their thing. And, you know, those games happen. And the third game was actually on stream. And so it's like people were like, tell me about it. And I actually, for some reason, I thought they were streaming the other game. It's like they told us they were going to stream our game. And then it's like, I thought they were going to like turn the lights on or there was going to be some indicator that there was recording. So it's like we were just kind of playing a normal game. And, you know, in that game, just like I was facing Woe that time. And he had a Sanctum lineup that just could spam Amber Rush. And so his deck's just doing his thing. And it just basically, it was kind of like my last turn. And then everything just hit. And I forged two keys in that last turn with the Chota. So,
nice.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work. Good for you. So that was your third game into day two. So you have the rest of the day in front of you. Where's your mindset? Are you practicing more games? Are you playing something else? What are you thinking?
Well, at that point, it's like I went all the way up to Roseville to play some games, and we've got like, you know, it was what, noon ish, something
yeah,
like
right?
that.
Exactly.
So
Archon got their lunch break.
Yeah, we were already done. So I was just like, let's play some games. So I had brought another deck, just a fun deck that I really enjoy playing. I kind of use it in like my triad lineup. It's an old Coda deck, and I just really love it. I did second Amber. I played four games, and I won them all. It's like,
gosh.
Oh, man, so that's something. So, yeah.
Great confidence boost in your just generic general player skill.
Yes, right. It's just like sometimes it wasn't hitting, you know, with my alliance deck, but just everything seemed to be hitting with second Amber. And then I think I did a sealed tournament as well that day, and we had a three-way tie for the top. It's like three people went 2-1, so it, you know, it was a lot of fun just playing lots of Keyforge and like playing some different types of games. So I wasn't thinking too much about Alliance until I left, and I was like, okay, I got to do a little prep with my friend. I kind of went together with a game plan for facing you, because we did know who we were going to be facing the next day.
Absolutely. So it was interesting that we were able to call that out, because one, the way that they announced the names of the people that made day two seemed to be in order. And so once we knew that they were announced in that order, we were able to confirm with different people who they had won against, if they were undefeated. And so we were kind of aware of what the bracket might have looked like. So unfortunately, both you and I were pretty confident we were going to face each other going into day two.
Yeah. And, you know, we had that experience. And not only did we have that experience, because we had communicated beforehand, you know, it's like as you reached out to me, we, you know, kind of chatted a little bit. And so I had known what you were trying to do with, you know, your decks. And then you get to borrow that Mars pod that you had
right.
with the double Martian
right.
generosity, which I was also very familiar with, because a friend of mine was like, oh, this deck's for sale for X amount of dollars or whatever. And so that was one of the decks that I tested. But the strange
really?
Thing, yeah. I did test it out. The strange thing with that deck, though, is even though it's just this unicorn Genka deck, it didn't match as well with my Logos pod.
Sure,
so it's like I
would
have had to change everything, and you know, but not that I was going to be able to play it, but you know.
Well, that's really cool. So the fact that you had experience with the deck that or with the pod that I was going to play. And then on Friday, we were able to play against each other before we even knew we would be paired up at any point during the weekend. So sitting down Sunday morning, what are your thoughts? I know that you and I were actually pretty chatty. Like I felt kind of more comfortable just knowing who you were and sitting across from you. But what were your thoughts sitting across from me Sunday morning?
One of the big thoughts was like, oh my gosh, we're playing a game for $500. This is ridiculous. This is crazy.
Good point. Accurate statement.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking was like, I had kind of this game plan, right? So it's like we had practiced against each other and we'd both won one. I still felt like your deck was able to pull off what it wanted to do just slightly faster than mine. So my game plan was I got to take some risks, right? I'm going to mulligan to try to get more of my engine up front. I got to like take some risks with like Shark and some of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Risks, they so backfired on me in our match.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then at the beginning of our match, I think you should like say this. You were wondering if there was like a mirror behind you or something like that. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Because I was like deciding whether or not to mulligan because it was a really, really hard choice. Like usually I would mulligan. I do not want to go into my first turn with the cards I had in my hand. But you sitting across the table, you were like, what do you have like a generosity and a punctuated equilibrium in your hand or something? Knowing that I probably would have to think about that.
Yep.
And it was literally what was in my hand and exactly what I was debating about. Do I want to get rid of one of my Martian generosities to punk you knowing what your strategy is? And you called it. It was amazing. And I did end up keeping it, but it was, and I played the punk because I knew that I wanted to like try and start off by getting rid of whatever strategy you had decided to keep in your hand in the beginning. But it was a beautiful call on your part.
Yeah. I was like, I saw you like very pensive and debating in your head. And it's like, I knew that would be the biggest decision you had in your deck. So just like, well, you got Martian generosity and punk, you deciding what to do. So,
oh my gosh, that was amazing. And I did want to say, so the game itself was probably one of the longer games I had all weekend. And the reason is not only were our decks evenly matched, but both of us were so intimately aware what we had to do to stop the other person from going off. So it was a, like, if there was creatures on the board that we knew that the other player would benefit from those Igors to helper bots to being able to play a Nature's Call to bring them back. Or in my case, like if I had Mars creatures, you knew that I was able to play the Brainstem Antenna and just go off. So the ability of each of us to affect what each other was doing was probably one of the highest level Keyforge that I had played all weekend. And I loved every minute of it. Like watching you play the way that you played made me have to like, it was such a mental game. I knew that if I played my normal strategy, I had to then think to myself, he would know I'm trying to reach XYZ. So he would counter it, or his ability to counter it are in these cards, and I haven't seen them yet. So maybe I don't go in that direction because he is going to be able to counter what I'm about to do. And he will know he has to counter what I'm about to do. So it was, I want to compliment you on probably one of the best games I'd played all weekend.
Yeah. And like, I didn't know how aware of it you were, but when you punked, it's like, so I mulliganed. In my mulligan starting hand, I had both of my Feelas. And then it's like, I draw a card. You punk. That card I drew, which I didn't even know what it was at the time, because I just like draw my cards face down and then I just watch you. It was one of the helper bots. So then,
Yeah.
So there's like some parts of my engine that are gone. And then it's like, I'm still following my game plan. It's like, okay, I just need to take a few risks here. And when I played the shark, then you didn't have any reason for me to hold the shark, basically. So I just like, you had two creatures on the board, and I just like played the shark out. Sometimes, you know, just play the shark and just like kill itself to, you know, just get it out of my hand or something like that.
Right.
But I was trying to dig through with the shark, and I hit Total Recall, which is like some of the fuel for my engine to keep things running. And I hit my second helper bot. So it's like, ouch.
Whoa.
Right. So I still had some lanes I could do. Right. It's like, I don't remember where the Flaxia was, but like I could still go through like the Untamed route. Mars could just go Genka straight by itself. So there was like still options, but not my normal game plan. I was able to regrowth the helper bot later. And I thought it was really strange. It's like, I really like the regrowth in my deck, but I heard you cursing the regrowth in your deck several times.
Isn't that hilarious? So my deck really wants to have a lot of the same house in its hand. If I am in Untamed, there is a 90% likely chance that I don't want to take a creature from another house into my hand because I am going to continue playing Untamed and I might end up punking, or I might end up not playing a different house that turn because there's no way for me to house cheat in Untamed. So the reason it was a curse and not just a discard is because it has that pip. And so am I going to trade a chain in my hand for one more amber in my pool based on what I think my next turn is going to be? So I love how that one card is incredibly different in your hand than it is in mine.
Right. Yeah. Cause like I can pull off the Martian Generosity thing through my Logos house. And so I was like, and like I said, my first key, my typical game plan is just to forge it normally. So it's like, I'm not nearly as concerned about, that extra pip. So
totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the end of the game, I had some Mars creatures on the board and you played Key Abduction, not to forge a key, just to like stop me. And I don't like, you couldn't see my hand, but I had like Martian Generosity in there. I had like some other stuff, like big Mars hand, and that hurt. Like I was ready to go off and you were able to stop it there for a turn.
Right. And I wouldn't have been able to stop you. So it was such an amazingly close game. And I loved every minute of it. And like I said, we actually didn't, we almost go to time. Like they gave the 5 minute warning and then we were one of the last people still playing. And so Marcus just wandered over to watch our game and it was so good. I really enjoyed that. So I did end up taking the game, but I can totally see it having gone the other way had it gone a turn or two more, or even like had a couple of cards gone differently for us.
Oh yeah. That the punk set the tone for this game, and in some ways, it hurt us both, but
Well, that is a fantastic transition to, if you are looking at an opponent's Archon deck, you're playing your Genka, you think to yourself, I need to check my opponent's Archon card because I need to make sure they don't have X card. Are there any specific cards that are on that list for you?
For me, I guess one thing I have to like, keep track of is their Infernus, like, you know, if they're going to take something from me, it could matter, right? Mm-hmm. But most of the time, they go after the big flashy stuff like the Martian Generosity and, you know, the Key Abduction. And right. Taking my Martian Generosity does hurt. That's probably my biggest efficiency gain. But if I can get the Feelas going and stuff like that, I do have other ways to get to, like, 15 cards in hand.
Right.
You know, and just... And if they take the Key Abduction, I do have the Chota and the Key Charge. So, I mean, there's some redundancies built in there. Knowing if they have, like, a Nepseed or something like that, I'll have to hold the Shark. If there's some artifact that I need to take care of, then, you know, I'll know if I need to hold on to that or not. If there's, like, going to rush, like, this deck, you know, I put all this effort into efficiency, but as far as right. like slowing the opponent down, there's not much. I do have Cutthroat Research, which was actually pretty helpful in my third game of the Alliance tournament in order to cheat twice in the last turn. But just like it's that, and it's like Mind Warper is the Amber control. So, you know,
totally. I feel the exact same way. If I end up looking at their Archon card for threats that I'm afraid of, I'm likely going to miss a lot of what is their win con. Like when I'm playing Genka, I am more what's going to hurt me and less how do I stop them? Because if they don't have anything on their Archon card that's going to hurt me, I feel like I have a rush advantage where I can just win before their strategy goes off. And I do have some tools in my toolbox that can be used against them. But just like you, my Amber control was like, two or three cards. So rush was something that I absolutely had a hard time dealing with. But if they didn't have anything that could stop me, I was fine. Mm-hmm. So in that vein, I have three kind of different things that terrified me when I was looking at an Archon card. And those vague categories for me were Purge, like you said, Infernus. If they had anything that affected my hand, because I could get up to like 35 card hands, but if my opponent had something like Punctuated Equilibrium or my nemesis in Woe, Catch and Release, yeah. I was terrified. And then the last vague category that did a great job at hurting me was Control. And from one side, from the Coda side, from Control the Weak, all the way to Woe, the Unfathomable Befuddles. If I was one turn, I was befuddled with two different befuddles. And so I wasn't able to play a single card because they cannoted me for two different houses. So those are the three categories of fear that I had when playing my Ganka deck. So does that ring true for you as well?
Yeah, I think so. Like, some of the little amount of practice that I did get was against a top eight from another Vault Tour, and it had like triple Control the Weak and like some other stuff to it. And just in my practice match, like, I don't know, the controls weren't hitting, so I wasn't as worried about it. But then I played, you know, another guy who was there at Roseville, and we were just playing a for fun match. He was a Beehawk, made top eight as well, but we didn't get a chance to face each other. And he was playing Woe, and he was playing, you know, the Unfathomable Control and the Equidon for the R, and then probably another pod for the token creature, right? And that's kind of the typical Woe alliance. And it was a very close match. He did end up beating me, though. And we had like one rule we weren't quite sure about that might have like made me win the game. But it ended up like not playing the way that we thought it did. But it was just, you know, he got a lucky call with the Abyssal Sight and Befuddle. Right. I think his deck had multiples of both of those cards. There was only like seven cards left in my deck, so it wasn't like too hard to guess that the Martian Generosity hadn't come up yet. And you know, he's just able to, all right, Abyssal Sight and Befuddle, and you know, stops you, slows you down enough that it can hurt you. Now, most of the time, I wasn't too worried about it, because I don't know, it's either I have the pieces in place, like I have a helper bot and a Fila or Igor and a Nature's Call. If I got three of the components, I can just start to roll. If they take one of them away, hopefully I can get another one back. So it's like losing a card, I'm not as worried about. Losing the turn, that's a bigger deal because of that. Because like you said, neither one of us can really slow down the opponent. But if they can use that to get ahead, then we're in trouble. Beehawk was able to beat me in our fun game with that Unfathomable Control, and just, so there's probably other things I should have worried about, but like I said, I wasn't as prepared as maybe I could have been, but I still made top eight, so.
Right, oh, totally. Yeah, one of the things you mentioned earlier that I alluded to talking about later was Amber Control was also extraordinarily dangerous, even though it didn't seem that way. So I had the exact same issue, or not the opposite of an issue. I had the exact same boon as you, where when someone saw that I had six or more Amber, they would let me forge. They would get me down to six and then let me forge. And that key was invaluable, but that Amber would have been even better. So I could have probably OTK'd in one turn if I had gone into a turn with that six Amber. So there were decks that had amazing shadows, and those shadows just took away everything that I had, all the fuel that I had every single turn. So even if I ended from like one to four Amber, knowing I wasn't even going for six because starting my next turn, I might have only gotten one or two Reaps out of my Mars creatures on the board, or like one or two Pips off of whatever cards I was playing, I knew that I would have had at least a couple going into it. And so my Martian Generosity turns for six to eight cards are a lot less valuable to me. I had a big issue with the Mars pod that I borrowed. The Brainstem Antenna was the key, but I had a lot of issues when I got hands, even like 10 card hands, where most of them were Mars creatures. And I would happily play them and then hope they wouldn't get rid of it next turn, because if they had anything that would wipe my board, or even if they were smart, they could have fought into my creatures. And there were a lot of things that I was fighting an uphill battle against that people didn't realize because they didn't have the ins and the outs of what they could have done to defeat me. There were a couple of games that weekend where it could have gone the other way. And maybe one or two decisions on my part were smart, but one or two decisions on my opponent's part let me get away with things I shouldn't have.
Yeah. Sometimes with the Genka decks, the Martian Generosity is the big flashy things, but we have engines and combos and efficiencies that we've built in order to get to them. So
exactly,
the smarter play is to figure out what they're trying to do for the rest of their 34 cards and stop that.
Did you have a lot of issues with Purge? When they were purging your cards, was it always the Martian Generosities and Key Abductions?
Yeah, I think somebody did do that. Yeah. They took out the Key Abduction.
Yep, totally. So I had so many people purge that over the course of the whole weekend. And in general, all my practices on TCO, and whenever I played that deck, those were the first two gone. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, thank gosh. Like, the fact that I'm able to continue my strategy outside of those two cards, like, they didn't get rid of my helper bots. They didn't get rid of my nature's calls. And a lot of times they did. The game that I lost, so I lost the top four game, the next game I played after you, because I played against not only a fantastic, amazing deck that has actually won a couple different Vault Tours at this point, but it was also fielded by someone who I had played against before. And so seeing my deck shine, having Infernuses on his side, one of the first things he got rid of were my helper bots. And that critically made my Logos impossible. It like started making it clog my hands. And so I wasn't able to get through the rest of my deck fast enough. And so the tools that make you get to your Amber generation were more important to me than my flashy cards. I had a fantastic game against Gorlami on stream where I had never before played through the Martian Generosities without my Key Abduction. So he had gotten rid of my Key Abduction and I was able to cycle through my deck. That was one of the games I had all 35 cards in my hand. And I was like, what do I do now? I'm in-house Mars. So I'm not key cheating out of it. I'm not key cheating at all. I'm not house cheating out of it. I'm not key cheating because my abduction is gone. What is the best possible ending situation of this turn? And that was, again, one of the more fun games I played that weekend because it made me think through, I have all of these tools still at my disposal. What's the best I can do with them? But that was a fantastic weekend. I am so glad that you and I were able to meet in person after all of the chatting we had done online about our builds and the different decks and strategies we were using. But I do think that Genka is really popular right now because of the tools that go into building Genka decks being so prevalent in AOA.
Yeah. And, you know, there is a whole ton of AOA out there that you can choose from. And,
right.
But, you know, I think to get your deck and my deck, you know, there's AOA pods and then there's these like crazy ones that we like scoured DOK for, like trying to find the best like pods to like fit our strategies. And those are like harder to come by.
Oh, yeah. So Amazon had a deal on cheap AOA boxes. And I got a couple of them because they were so dirt cheap.
Yep.
And I opened them and there was not a single pod in there that didn't have another restricted card. So they had Time Travelers. I got one Legacy Library Access in a Logos pod. And I was like, this is amazing. I am never using this pod ever in my whole entire life because Library Access is never coming off that list.
Yep.
But it was great.
I keep waiting for Time Traveler to come off that list.
I know, right? It's on. If Time Traveler ever comes off that list, I might go back to playing Genka. Just putting that out there right now.
Yeah.
But this has been fantastic, and I'm going to end this here with, we cannot end another episode of Help from Future Self without the titular segment.
Help from Future Self.
And you have one for us today. I'm super excited to hear what it is.
Yeah, so I don't have a super strong Archon. But even if you don't have a super deck, go to OP, have some fun. Go to organized play, go to vault tours, go to nationals, just go to your local store, something like that. I kind of started this alliance journey because I didn't have the frauds and the galaxies and the decks like that. But I, after our alliance tournament got done, I had also brought with me the unfathomably attentive Ursula, just a Coda deck that I really enjoy. And it's got its speed sigil and it's got Zookeeper and just key abduction. It's got some fun stuff in it. But after we were done with alliance, I wanted to play more Keyforge. Second Amber, which is great. You know, if you just want to play some more games, you know, pressure's off, just have some fun. I went 4-0 with that deck that I really enjoy playing in Second Amber. So, you know, even if you're not going to win Archon, even if you don't think you can do that, don't let that stop you from going to organized play. Like, if I had just played Ursula, I think I could have easily had like a 2-2 or 3-2 record going in the Archon tournament. And, you know, that's what it's about, just playing Keyforge and having fun. And, you know, you would get some wins along the way. There's lots of different ways to play Keyforge when you go to some of these organized play events. So just go and have some fun.
I love it. That is a fantastic lesson to learn for future Vault Tours, too, knowing that there is time and events going on after the main events is over.
Yep.
So thank you again so much for coming on. Help from Future Self is on Discord. We have a Patreon. Both those links are in the show notes. You can find me on Discord and TCO as SC Steel. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Discord as Philly number one, Philly no one. So I'm around. You just message me. I'm in a bunch of Keyforge channels and Discords.
Fantastic. Love it. Well, we will be back next week with another episode of Help from Future Self. Until then, stay forged.